The Green Party is describing a new €3 billion fund announced in yesterday's budget as a war chest to invest in climate and nature projects over the remainder of the decade. Up to €3.5 billion can be drawn down from the new Investment, Climate and Nature Fund between 2026 and 2030. It's to be used for large green infrastructure projects to reduce emissions as we struggle to meet climate targets. We've been speaking this lunchtime to Green Party leader and Minister Eamon Ryan. I began by asking him how the fund will work.
It's going to be used to provide for the future of all our people, making sure that in times when there might be an economic downturn, we don't cut spending on the likes of major public transport, housing or water or other infrastructure, so that we learn from the past and we make sure we build during downturns, and the fund will help that. But also, more specifically, it will allow us to start gearing up and ready for the scale of investment we need to both restore nature and protect against climate change and reduce our emissions. And we know that there are projects coming which we will have to invest in. And by setting aside a fund which we will be able to pay for those with, it gives great certainty. It allows us to kind of start small and then build up. But it also, it will provide the funding we need and provide economic benefits and advantages for the country in reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, on improving our natural world and protecting against the change that's already inevitable.
It seems, though, that funds can begin to be drawn down from it from 2026, so really quite soon, up to a fifth of the fund, I think, between 26 and 30. So what projects might qualify for early access to this money?
I'll give an example of early projects that are already up and running. In Dublin, we have the incinerator. People will know it in Poole Beg, down at the edge of Dublin Bay there. There currently, we've got a huge amount of heated water, which has been dumped out into the Liffey. And instead of that, to redivert that, to heat the offices along the quays, to heat all our housing around Pier Street, Ring's End, to heat our hospital in St. Vincent's, and also, I would argue, to heat the likes of our Georgian Quarter.
But we also know that there are huge costs associated with making the transition to zero carbon emissions. I mean, the Fiscal Advisory Council, I think, recently put a figure in relation to revenue forgone from lower taxes on energy and fuel of perhaps up to $2.5 billion a year by 2030, and rising even higher in the further decade. So is this a fund that will be able to make up for some of that shortfall?
No, that's a separate issue. And this is a fund for investing in new projects that help us reduce our dependence on fossil fuels. It isn't to cover the loss in taxation.
So how is that shortfall going to be made up?
Well, one of the mechanisms we have, and we're starting to see it work now, is the use of carbon tax. It went up last night, 2 cents on the litre of diesel or petrol, 2.1, 2.4. But the benefit of that is it does raise money, and that money is guaranteed to go in three ways. Firstly, 30% of it goes to social protection. Mm-hmm. So this budget, like the previous three this government has done, was progressive. Those on the lowest income decile got a 4.7% increase in income. The richest got a 1.5, and part of that is because we can use money from the carbon tax to help the poorest. Secondly, what it does, it allows us to invest in the retrofit of buildings, again, which is directed at those who are lowest incomes get most. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, it goes to farmers right across the country to help them make the switch. So that tax measure is being hugely progressive. There's a real strength to it because we know it's going to rise year in, year mm-hmm. out, and it allows us to provide for what we need in the country while other tax revenues are lowered.
It also falls very heavily on people who don't have alternatives. People, for example, who have to use their car to get to and from work. It's going to add significantly to those costs, the cost of petrol and diesel. It'll add to hauliers' costs as well. And in the end, we'll all pay, won't we, through higher prices in the shops. And it's going to add to inflation, add to the rise in the cost of living.
No, what we're doing is going to make a switch. What we're doing in every week this year, for the last year and a half, we've been introducing a new rural public transport services, areas where there isn't that public transport previously. So we're providing the alternatives so people can make a switch. We're also investing in very significant in rail and other infrastructure that allow us to make this change, make this leap. We can't just keep going down the route of having a gridlocked traffic system, mm-hmm. which is both high in emissions, but also high cost in terms of time wasted and wasted resources.
But we've also had these reports recently of a perhaps up to €16 billion hole in the the National Development Plan funding because of rising costs, because of inflation. And I think you've acknowledged that projects are going to have to be reviewed now. The plan is going to have to be reviewed in the new year. Does that mean some road developments in particular won't go ahead?
We have in the transport sector, we got an allocation of the National Development Plan of 35 billion, which is a huge amount of money, and we can spend that wisely and well. But the reality is we have 100 billion euros of projects in planning, a whole variety of projects, public transport, rail, active travel. We do have to prioritise, and we have had an underinvestment in public transport over the last 50, 60, 70 years, I would argue. And I believe the public are absolutely in favour of us making sure we do provide new public transport services that really benefit them. And the reason I would say for that is because when we're introducing them now, the public are flocking to them. New bus services we've put in, we've seen the volumes increase by 112% in the last year. Irish people want good public transport services.
Well, I'm trying to get an answer to the question. Is it the case now that some road developments, as a result of the review that you'll be initiating in the new year, road developments will be paused?
We would prioritise in road developments those that really benefit towns across the country.
And others?
Well, there are so many different projects. They can't all be built at the one time. Yeah, you have to be honest with people that we have 100 billion euros worth of projects in planning, but we have a 35 billion euro budget. You do have to prioritise, and it's better to be straight and honest with people, that some projects will come later than others.
Okay. A couple of other budget matters. The energy credits announced yesterday, three payments of 150 euro this winter to every household in the country instead of a more targeted measure to those families most in need. Why are some of the wealthiest families in the country going to receive this largesse?
Well, firstly, there will be targeting this year compared to last year. We are looking at a mechanism that those houses that are vacant, that they're not using their electricity, that they're not actually a family home, they won't benefit. We think it's something like 100,000 houses that won't get it in that time. But can I say the electricity credit really did work last year, and we think it'll work through this winter. What it did is it made sure that those about 200,000 families on occasion were getting into difficulties paying their bills. Every time we applied the energy credit, because it is an exceptional times in terms of very high prices, every time we applied it, those families in difficulty dropped dramatically. The numbers dropped dramatically. And the benefit of doing it in this direct energy credit way is that we can get to the houses quickly. It's not bureaucratic. Low cost to introduce.
You could, as Social Justice Ireland recommended or suggested, extended the fuel allowance, for example, to those families, 46,000 of them, who are in receipt of the working family payment, some of the very lowest income families in the country.
Well, there was a huge increase last year and again this winter
in the fuel allowance,
in a whole variety of social justice protection measures, social welfare measures. We do have to target and protect those in greater risk of poverty. But the way we've done that is by very extensive use of the social welfare system to help people out in that way. And as I said, the real proof of it is in the ESRI analysis of the budget, which shows that those on lowest incomes did benefit most proportionately.
And yet the core social, the weekly social provision payments, the going up now by 12 euro a week, pensioners and others, that's well behind the rate of inflation. On the other hand, a taxpayer earning 75,000 euro a year or more will be almost 900 euro better off.
There's a whole variety of different measures in terms of, we've just increased or accepted the recommendation to a very dramatic increase in the minimum wage. And that will help a lot of people on low incomes to kind of get out of the poverty trap and to start making their way in a much better way. Most of the tax increases or tax reductions are in indexation that was agreed in the programme for government, that we don't just freeze our tax system in the, you know, where it was 3 or 4 years ago. You do have to account for inflation. And I think this year was different to last year in that there was more of an emphasis on the introduction of or the provision of tax credits, the likes of home care credits, so that it is more balanced. It isn't just all about the top tax earners. And ultimately, sorry to keep coming back to it, but our test in the Green Party was to make sure, as I said, that the richest got a 1.5% increase in income, the poorest got a 4.7%. And that that was our metric, a yardstick, in terms of the overall balance of measures. Did they protect the lower income more? And we feel that they did.
Just a final question. Roderick O'Gorman secured that further 25% cut in childcare costs, but it's not going to kick in until next September. Why do parents have to wait?
One of the reasons I'd say to them is because it's not only, I mean, it's quite a historic change where within 2 years, a 50% reduction in childcare costs. That's unprecedented. I don't think there's any international parallel. It's a remarkable result from Roderick. But one of the reasons for the delay is that he's going beyond that. He's also extending it outwards and trying to target and open up new areas of childminding, the likes of childminders in the home who will be eligible for support, the likes of more disadvantaged families. So to be able to do that, he agreed and said, OK, we delayed slightly the introduction, but we broadened the base and broadened the scope. And I think it's very important in that as well, in my mind, that we also really now start targeting parents in the home who are raising their family in that way. And the likes of the increase in child benefit and the home carers credit I mentioned earlier are also important in that regard, that we need to leave families free to decide what is their best way of raising their children and try and support them in that flexibility, give them the flexibility and give them the choice. And that's what we try to do in the budget.
Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. Back with more after this short break.